We continue to pray that the Holy Spirit unites Jesus' Holy Catholic Church in its proclamation and witness to God, his Father's world. By the Holy Spirit's power of the waters of holy baptism, we made one body in Christ. We pray for the day that all Christians will also be one body in Christ at Jesus' Holy Communion banquet table.
There is endless rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. We put our trust in these promises. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Jesus always seeks us even when we are lost in our sin. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Rejoice with the Holy Trinity, the angels, and all the saints in heaven at this great good news. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we pray for your Son Jesus' Holy Catholic Church. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to fill it with Jesus' freedom, justice, peace, and truth. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, correct it. Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where it is in need, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for the world, for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, including the new displaced people in Syria due to the ongoing fighting and war. All victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence. All victims of natural disasters, including the wildfire victims again in California, this country, as well as our brothers and sisters there, and in Texas and other in western states from the recent tornadoes. All victims of human-made disasters. All victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, South Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties. Recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit so that your will is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The renewed covenant is not breakable, but like the old covenant, it expects the Lord God's people to live upright lives. To know and serve the Lord God means defending and serving the cause of the Lord God's poor and needy people. The renewed covenant is possible only because the Lord God forgives iniquity and does not remember sin. The first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life. St. Paul's words stand at the heart of the preaching of Martin Luther and the other Reformation leaders. No human beings make themselves right with God our Father through the works of the law. We are brought into a right relationship with God our Father through the divine activity centered in his Son, Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. These acts are Jesus' gifts of grace that liberate us from sin, death, and evil, and by the Holy Spirit's power, empower our faith in Jesus to serve his ministries and missions. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and it is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Word of God, word of life.
The first Reformation Sunday Gospel introduction. Jesus teaches of truth and freedom as spiritual realities known through his holy word. Jesus reveals that he is the one truth that sets people free from sin, death, and evil. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Excuse me, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered Jesus, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered and teaching them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Lord. The 20th Sunday after Pentecost Gospel Introduction. The culmination of the reign of God our Father will involve unexpected reversals of fortune and judgment rooted in mercy. Jesus teaches a parable in which the one who humbles himself is exalted, and the one who exalts his own righteousness is humbled. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus also told in teaching this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but he was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, the man, the sinner, who was the tax collector, went down to his home justified rather than the other sinner, the Pharisee. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. In our gospel acclamation, Lord God, Father, our Son, Holy Spirit, we're very grateful that you speak to us through your holy word, and may it truly burn like fire within us and stir our hearts, Father God, on this holy ground time to be immersed in your holy word and your Son's holy communion sacrament. Once again, to be made righteous so that you can have his presence in your sight due to your Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful for this time to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and truly do stir us with the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. We spend in a little over an hour here on our Sabbath honoring the command. We spend the rest of the week as we begin it out in your mission fields for your Son. May we continue to bring his good news. We will continue in our action, words, and deeds to live out and be a living gospel. We're grateful to do it. We know the Holy Spirit's always there. Continue to stir that up in us. We're grateful for it. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. B, it's good to have you back with us. Glad you're feeling better and to be back.
Yeah, I finally decided to
Hibernation, good. Feeling good to have you back with us. And the Carolyn Wright clan is slowly but surely returning from New York and Tennessee. Good to have you back with us as well. Great good news on Reformation Sunday, because I like red and you get a twofer in Gospels. And next Sunday you're going to get a twofer as well in All Saints Sunday. You won't have red. Well, you could have red, but it's white. And you will have the 21st Sunday after Pentecost Gospel as well as the All Saints. The reason I do those things is if you don't, you miss out on these texts and you don't get to hear them. Maybe if we're lucky, you hear them 3 years down the road. That's a long time to miss these teachings, isn't it? Yeah, we're grateful to have them today. So you fired up for Reformation Sunday? All right, you fired up for Sandy sandwiches? Some of you are. There's only four left. That one that she had over there, since I've had to touch it at all three services, is definitely the most expensive one. Today, as we get ready to celebrate the Reformation Gospel, chapter 8 of St. John's Gospel, I believe we want to step back for a minute, like I normally will do, and say, how did we get to today's 20th Sunday after Gospel Pentecost? And I believe they both have Reformation theology in them. It is great good news to know that we're always called as people in a church to be reforming people. And as that prayer said in our prayer of the day, where we are amok, basically, turn us back around. Where we have shortcomings, fix them. Where we are in need, fill it. Those are great things that God's always doing. And that's part of the Reformation. Part of what Jesus says is have faith. Have faith. Last Sunday's gospel, he concluded with this teaching. Yet when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? And I say resoundingly, yes, amen, and hallelujah. In, with, and through us, here in this place, as individuals, family, as his church, this small piece of Christ Lutheran Church, the Holy Catholic Church, be excited. We can answer Jesus, yes, because you've set us free. And that's incredible good news. And then you see all the things over here. Most of that's already been picked up. And there's where we live it out. I hope you're excited as the Holy Spirit stirs that up in you. Aren't you excited? Isn't that incredible good news? Last week, Jesus taught us something about that faith and how to keep plugging away. We had a widow. Needed justice. And a widow was nothing in her day. Absolutely nothing. And she went up against a judge appointed by Rome and the Roman authorities as well as the religious authorities. And Jesus teaches in that parable that that judge is unethical and an atheist. And he has no reverence for God or any human being. And yet she continues to pray. She continues to trust and hope in her God, and yes, finally, that guy is so worn down, he says, you know what, I'm going to just get rid of her, and I'm going to grant her justice. And Jesus says, that's faith. Continue to pray, and I will answer you, and trust that the answers that I give are the best things for you in the time that I say that I'm going to do them, and always have that hope. That's part of the core of the Reformation. The church had started to deliver that away from people. And the reformers brought it back and said, no, return that. We pray, we trust, and we hope. And the church is supposed to stand for that. Aren't you glad you're part of one that does? Isn't that incredible good news? We get today, yes, thank you, Mike. We get today's Reformation gospel. And Jesus says these glorious words that truly are at the core of the Reformation. You are a slave to sin, and you have no place in the household at all. But the Son does. And the Son, if you have faith and believe in him, sets you free. That is incredible good news. Sets us free to be with his Father in the eternal kingdom. Sets us free through the power of the Holy Spirit to be involved in his mission field and his ministries and missions. Stir it up, Lord. Keep it coming. This is incredible good news. Your Son sets us free in his righteousness. And we get to go out and proclaim that to the world. That's incredible, incredible good news. Today's gospel, though, reminds us, be careful. Look in the mirror. Jesus is very clear. How often are we like the Pharisee? Oh, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that person. I'm glad I'm not a thief And I'm glad I'm not a rogue. And I'm glad I'm not an adulterer. And I'm glad I'm not da-da-da-da-da. Jesus says, humble yourself, my child. It is up to me to decide what sin is, and sin abounds, and you are a sinner. Look in the mirror and admit, Lord, have mercy on me, and then I can set you free, Jesus says. How many people look at shows like Springer and say, oh, I'm glad I'm not like those people on TV. Look, they fight, they rip their clothes off. Oh, how horrible are they? And Jesus says, humble yourself. You should be finding people like that and telling them about me that I can set them free. How often do we look at the news and do the same thing? Oh, my heavens, look at that. I'm glad I would never commit that atrocity. I would never do that. I would never steal a car. The list goes on and on. Oh, opioids, I would never use those. And guess what? Jesus says, my child, you need my mercy just as they do. And I call you because of your faith to go out and tell them that I can set them free. And that's incredible good news. That's the Reformation, where the church was on track, off track. Thousands of years ago, the reformers came and said, guess what? We've got to get the church back. And Martin Luther and the others, with great amounts of prayer, trust, and hope, slowly but surely moved the church back to a much better place. Aren't we glad? But the church is not the building here or over there where we finally moved the Lord's new church. It's the people. We are the universal priesthood of believers. We are the church, not the building, which means we are called to always look at ourselves and say, Lord, have mercy, correct us. And we're on track, full speed ahead. Send that Holy Spirit and we're ready to roll. And that's incredible good news. And get excited about it. You don't seem very excited this morning. I say that every week. As us, as individuals, we're always called to be reforming. And as us, as church, we're called to do the same. And revel in it when you see it. And enjoy it. Because the Son has set the church free. The Son has set us free. And I love to see it in our congregation. I'm not the easiest person always to get along with. That's just part of who we are as people. Sometimes a little more so than others. Ask Don, he was president. But I'll tell you one thing about this church. I love being part of the ministry teams. I sit in almost all of them. And they're centered in the Son who sets us free. Every team meeting of our congregation, the Lord's church, begins with prayer. Everyone has a devotion. And even if there are conflicted views and tempers or whatever happens, at the end of that meeting, we all rise and we hold hands and we say the Lord's Prayer. That His will is done, because it's His mission teams. It's His church, and He's blessed us to be part of it. And may He take it the direction it needs to go each and every day, because He's the one driving the ship and setting it free. And I hope you're excited about those things in that incredible good news. Watch for His righteousness. There was somebody in our congregation who had one of those devotionals, the capital planning team. She had no idea what today's 20th Sunday after Pentecost gospel was. But it reminds us to look in the mirror and reform ourselves. Bonnie Taylor brought a devotion. You know, I need to reform. I'm still on a flip phone. I've never even been on Facebook. I'm hoping that if I outlast it, it would just go away someday. But Bonnie looked at Kathy Moffitt from the middle service, her website, and she found a great reformation posting from Kathy. Kathy posted a story that goes a little bit like this that Bonnie told us on Tuesday. There was a man who died, faithful man, and he went to heaven. And Jesus met him at the pearly gates, if they're really pearl, and welcomed him in. The Son had set him free for eternity to be with His Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there he was in heaven, and he's looking around. And all of a sudden, he walked up and he sees Bill. And he says, what are you doing here? You took my lunch money when I was in sixth grade. And you, Chase, you were trouble in the church. I can't believe you're here. And you, Ron, you were a jerk in our family the whole time. What are you doing here? And Jesus comes up to the man. I'm going to ask him, Lord, what are they doing here? And he said, all of a sudden there was this dead silence. And everyone in heaven was actually looking at him, and he knew. And Jesus looked at him and said, my child, they're wondering what you're doing here. So which one was the tax collector and which one was the Pharisee? Jesus says, look in the mirror, confess your sins, and I will set you free. And then you will help set others free. The church always needs to be part of that. The organized Holy Catholic Church, and revel in it. The church has come a long way, even in the past 20 years. I do not know whether I will live long enough to see this table, the Lord's table, open to all people in every congregation in the Holy Catholic Church in this country and around the world. But we're getting close, and get excited. We're close. One of my Steeler fan club buddies died. His name, Sharon, will be praying. He's in that list of Christian sympathy. The heads of the club we meet at Beef O'Brady's here on 42 sent me the email. I don't know everybody's names in the club. You know, I'm fairly good with names. But I get there and the games are always started if they're 1 o'clock. So it isn't like, hey, what's your name again? I need to make sure I know you. Oh, shut up, we're watching the game. It's more like what happens. But in the email they said, William Billy Wilson died, and his celebration of life is at St. Mark's Roman Catholic Church on Monday at 10 o'clock, if you can attend. And I was able to go this Monday, and it was Reformation, and it was glorious. I didn't know this about Billy. When I saw his picture, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've sat with him and his wife Sheila many times. I got to greet Sheila. She was there. He died rather suddenly from an illness. And before the homily from the father, a young priest, really nice, a person just like Bob sitting at the keyboard, he also is their cantor. He has a beautiful voice and he plays. He said, before Father speaks, I need to tell you something about Billy Wilson. Billy Wilson sat in the back row of the chapel, which is where this was. It's beautiful. If you ever get a chance to see St. Mark's Chapel, let alone a church, it is beautiful. It's a very nice setting. Billy and Sheila sat in the last row for every celebration of life at St. Mark's. And Billy said he did it so that he could be there, whether he knew who died or not, to pray for them and to remind them that their loved one has been united in the eternal kingdom. And I'll tell you what, that was a lot more important to learn about Billy Wilson than he liked the Steelers and was from Pittsburgh. And he said this about Billy. He had the loudest voice in this chapel because he wanted them to know the hymns were about life. So they got ready to celebrate the sacrament. They have some video screens up there. They just project onto the wall. It's actually done very tastefully and very nice. I'm learning a lot about it. We'll probably do some of that at some point once we finish the sanctuary. In that, we got the Holy Communion, and it said, all Catholics in the state of grace are invited to come and partake in the sacrament. If you are not Catholic, please do not partake in the sacrament. Hang on. But here's the Reformation. This wouldn't have happened 20 years ago. But please come forward and receive a blessing. The church is changing. We're almost there. The young guy is the father. He's a very nice guy. Only stands about this tall. And I'm 6'2". And I got to walk up to him like this. And I knew when he did this, he knew I was communed in my heart by faith. Communion is by your intent and your faith, not by the bread and the wine. As I stood there with a big grin, he smiled and he said, bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's a gift from Billy to me. That's great good news of the Reformation, isn't it? We're almost there. And people from St. Mark's are invited to our celebration of the dedication on the 14th, which is that Saturday in December. And so St. Vincent de Paul Society from there. And lots of other clergy and community leaders. And isn't it great at that particular celebration for the Lord that I added this table back? So that everyone who comes that day hears these words. This is not our table. This is the Lord's table. And if you would love to commune with us and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come forward or come forward for a blessing. Amen and hallelujah. If you're not excited about that, I don't know why not. We're leading the Reformation charge and you're a part of it. I hope you're fired up about that because Jesus didn't say at the Last Supper, you're not allowed, but the fate of you are because you're not in a state of grace. Or, by the way, you're not United Methodist or Baptist or whatever. He didn't say that, did he? But we're almost there. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
And it pays off. Michael Watt, who died suddenly at the first service, and we celebrated his life at New Life Community Church. We had word and sacrament. And there was a large amount of people there, most of which I did not know. When I went to the Villages Hospital to see Nick Fisher, I was leaving and I always take the steps. I walked down the steps and I got into the lobby area and a woman almost ran up and she grabbed my hand. I saw her name tag. She worked there at the Villages Hospital. It's Chandra, S-C-H-A-N-D-R-A. She said, I have to thank you for something. I said, what's that? And I didn't recognize her. She said, I was at Michael Watt's celebration of life. And I cannot tell you how much that helped me. You see, I worked for Marguerite at the hospital before Marguerite retired. And she's one of three of my best friends who have had their husbands die within 6 weeks. They're all going to be young. She's probably in her 40s. Michael was 72. What does that tell you? She grabbed my hand. At that celebration of life, we helped set her free. To know that Michael had no chains of death binding him. And part of that's this table. And part of that is helping her set her friends free. Because she's talking to them about that celebration of life. Oh my heavens! If that doesn't get you excited, I'm working on it. We're all part of that. And that's because we have faith in the Son who sets us free to help set others free. That's the Reformation. But there was a similar conversation in St. John's Gospel that took place between Father and Son. Son, yes, Father. It's time to set our people free. Son, I'm ready to send you into the world. Son, you will set them free. Son, on a horrible day, they're going to mock you and crucify you and murder you. And yet, Son, that's how you're going to set them free. And I will be so angry that the sky will turn black beyond their wildest imaginations, but I will withhold my anger and my wrath because you are setting them free. And I will raise you up to the glory that is yours and yours alone. And I believe Jesus smiled. Said, yes, Father, it's time to set them free. Some people will teach that the Reformation started with Martin Luther and the Reformers, and I beg to theologically differ. The Reformation of this world started with Jesus Christ being born of Mary. And people from that birth started to be set free. And in it, I believe he culminates it, most certainly in his death and resurrection, but on the night in which he was betrayed. looking at all 12 disciples, he said this. This is what sets you free. This is my body in this simple piece of bread, broken for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And as he took the cup, he said, this is the new covenant, fulfilling the text you have in the first lesson of Jeremiah, writing it in faith on their hearts and ours. It is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me in front of 12 who are betraying him as they partake. And the Son set them free. This is incredible good news. This is reason to say, thank you, Lord. Set us free and then send us to bring others the good news so we can help them be set free. And if you're not excited about that, I give up. Thanks be to God. You're just glad I gave up. Amen.
Let us pray. God, our Father of every blessing, at your Son, Jesus' holy communion banquet table, he embraces us face to face. And in the precious gift of Jesus' body and blood, we are granted his forgiveness and eternal life. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to send us now to shine with Jesus' humility and generosity and bear witness to the one we receive and serve, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Let us pray. Grace God, our Father, your Son, Jesus, continues to take the form of a servant, offering himself as comfort, grace, healing, hope, mercy, strength, and wholeness to your often sick and hurting world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to anoint with a servant heart all of your people who take Jesus' holy gospel, good news, and holy communion sacrament. To our sisters and brothers who are sick, homebound, in skilled care, assisted living, hospice, and hospitals, continue to grant Jesus comfort, grace, healing, hope, mercy, strength, and wholeness to all of your people who feast on Jesus' precious body and blood and receive his words of eternal life. May all of your people recognize that we have a place and a home in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We continue to receive and serve Jesus, the one true good shepherd and treasure entrusted to us by the help, guidance, and power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, continue to bless us and sustain us with Jesus' freedom, grace, justice, mercy, and peace, now and forever. Amen. As Pastor Carlson always told me, I hope to always remember to tell you, the Lord be with you now. And Sharon will dismiss us.
Go in peace. Live in humility and generosity as Jesus teaches us. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day.